Joan, could you describe your work as it is now? Or however you wish to answer that question, what kind of work are you involved in now?
Are you pushing buttons?
No, it's all right. This is not...
Shoot.
All right. Maybe you could talk about what paintings you're doing.
Stop painting.
Pardon?
Back to drawing.
Back to drawing, okay. Are you drawing because you have a show to work toward, or is it just something you feel like you yourself are interested in doing?
It's kind of a combination of both. I have some shows coming up in the very near future, and I want the work that I put in the shows to be consistent. I find that the painting I'm doing right now is very shaky, so I'm not willing to show the painting until I get it to a level where I'm happy with it. I have this sort of latent interest in botany, which has come from all the time when I was very small. I was always bringing home bits and pieces of plants, and I've used that subject matter over and over again in my drawings, and I'm still pretty much into that. I'm still trying to refine and deal with it in a different way than you normally see. I just finished a drawing of some daylilies, and they're very common, and you see them all over the place this time of the year. But I wanted to say something very specific about them, and I think for a change I've achieved my objective.
Oh, that's nice. I've been looking at them myself. There is a mystique about them, but I'm not sure exactly what it is.
That's the thing that I kept seeing. They come from the Orient, originally, and it seems to me something that's so prolific in this area, particularly this East Coast area, it seems like you see them all over the roadsides. Shouldn't be so beautiful and so voluptuous and everything, and they are. So I thought, now how does one deal with that in terms of art? And I don't want people to look at this thing and say, oh, look at the pretty daylilies, because I don't think they're pretty. I think they're very sexual. And you know, the branches bend and the leaves bend, and they're very, trying to think of a good word.
How long does it usually take you to do something like that?
It varies according to the amount of detail that I put into the work. I tend to work in a very realistic fashion, but bordering on fantasy, because I'm looking for essences. I'm looking for the soul in what I see, and I see, well, nature seems to be the thing that I keep drawing myself back to, and the forms in nature, probably because they're so round and they're feminine forms, many of them. And I keep coming back to those things, so it varies a great deal in terms of... This last drawing didn't really take a great deal of time, but then I kept it very simple in many respects. In terms of the amount of drawing on the page itself, there's really more white space than there is drawing, so it didn't take as long as I normally... I can go on for like weeks on these things if I let myself. Then they become so complicated and tight that that I'm not happy with them myself. It's a strange thing, because I'm half torn now toward going much more abstract and getting away from portraying the subject matter pretty much as it stands. For example, the daylilies I did are recognizable. It would be much more satisfying to me now to do something that wasn't but embodied the same kind of linear feelings that the daylilies did, the curves and the way these things kind of follow the sun when they open up. And I'm toying with the idea of doing the next series of drawings as very much abstract ideas and getting totally away from the subject matter. It's also much more fun. I'm not confined to having to put the shadows in the right place and be consistent in those areas, because if you're doing something that just deals with form, you're really free to do almost anything you want to do.
Have you done work like that before?
Yes, I have. And I had finished another drawing where I decided I was going to start at one point and sort of work out with not a great deal of thought in terms of specific subject matter. And I found it to be very challenging because I would do something and I'd look at it and it wouldn't balance and I'd have to change it. And it became a thing where I really began to interact. It was more really interacting with the work rather than applying, line or pencil or what have you to a surface. And I found that I could go on for hours and hours. Sometimes the other work I do, I find tedious enough myself that I won't be able to sit long enough to really put the time into it. So it's saying to me, hey, you've got to look at doing things where you could interact. When I had taken the critique with Bill Smith, I decided I would spend some time painting. And I found when I started painting again, and because I was doing it for a specific time period and a specific reason, that I would spend hours with it. I got so wrapped up in the painting, and when I was able to do that one drawing that way, I thought, this is the area I really want to pursue rather than what I've been doing. So I'm in the process of change right now.
How did you come to live in Bucks County?
In a rather normal sort of way for someone who comes in from the outside, it was very much related to my husband's job. This was, quite frankly, not our first choice of places to live. But after we got here, I find that it satisfies us very much. It's a good place for us to be.
In what ways?
Well, I guess one of the questions that you were going to ask, and I can kind of digress here, is when I first came, it's the whole business of my husband is a professional, so he interviewed for a job, and I got taken around. And the thing that struck me most when I came here, I think, was the amount of historical buildings and background the place had. And I think I was totally floored by the idea that people lived in houses that dated back to the 1700s. Mm-hmm. I always thought of them as museums, even though I had been in this area before, you know, traveling around, we visited Philadelphia and so forth. My impressions as a youngster were that, old houses were museums or old buildings were museums. And here we were moving into an area where people lived in old houses. And I was struck by the historical aspects of it and the amount of care people put into the whole look of many of the communities. I think about places like Newtown, which are perfectly charming, and yet they're very accessible and close to job and shopping and all this sort of thing. And I thought, I had never considered the fact that people actually live in these conditions, as opposed to just having
from?
Them set aside. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, from Western Pennsylvania, and it's a whole different way of living. It's really quite much the, people say about it, the steelworker, blue-collar atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And I was not quite ready for all of this. And I find it delightful. I think when we discovered the canal, and we do a lot of canoeing along the canal, we just found it to be a lovely area to live in. And I'm pleased with it. But it was not what drew us here in the first place. It was strictly a job situation, and this is where the best deal was, and that's why we came.
As far as your work, you said you're very interested in plant forms. I would think that that would go along with this area. Certainly has an abundant...
That's one of the things that I keep finding, because it's so accessible, too. We have parks that are very available to people, so that if I want to go out and draw from nature, I have no trouble finding a place to go. And this area also has the advantage of being kind of on the fringe edges of this, where the south and the north meet, so that you get the double varieties of plant material. You get things that you wouldn't get in Western Pennsylvania or upstate New York here. One of the things that I want to keep emphasizing is that the nature things are just a takeoff point for me, and the more I get involved in doing this, the kind of work I'm doing, and again, I guess I didn't mention when we first started that I work with pencil at this point in time, is that it's a departure point, and it's a way of going off into fantasy. It gives me some basis of reference, but as I said earlier, I want to just push it a little further. And that, it seems like it might be very easy to say, I could go off and anybody can go off and make a bunch of lines on a piece of paper and come up with an abstract drawing, but it doesn't make sense to the person who's doing it unless they know kind of what they're about. Otherwise, you're just sort of pushing things around and you're playing and you're not connecting it with any kind of an intellectual process. And so you come up with a dismembered kind of thing rather than a cohesive result, which for me at least is very important. It might not be for other people, but I'm not a I'm trying to think of what the term is, somebody that just sort of puts things together and has happenings. I'm very, very much an organized, direct person, and I couldn't, my work has to bespeak that, that I could no more do something very happening-ish than somebody who is that kind of person could sit down and do a very graphy kind of linear drawings. So a lot of it has to do with personality and what, you know, I'm beginning to figure out who I am, and that helps mm-hmm. too.
You feel as though when you're doing this, even though it is very directed drawing, that at some point there are some happenings
that
you don't, you know, you're not conscious of.
There have to be, because if not, then you've lost some of the creativity that goes along with beginning to see something appear on the page. It's like magic, you know, it's mm-hmm. like making magic, and that's what I get out of it anyway. And often I start out in one with some idea in my head, and if when I end up at the other end of the drawing, it comes out the way it's in my head, I feel to some extent I'm a failure because I haven't allowed happenings to come about.
I think it's sort of a little bit of a reaction because so much emphasis has been placed on the idea of just happenings, and well, they're fine, without the second thing that you talked about.
Happy accidents and
right.
that kinds of things. I suppose a lot of that comes from my training. I had been, either for good or for worse, training I had as an art student had been with people who insisted that the people in the class know how to draw. We had to learn how to do things like draw boxes, you know, very, very basic mm-hmm. kinds of things, instead of saying, oh, well, just sit down, here's the model, and do what you can with it. As I said, fortunately or otherwise, had people who insisted on a reason for why the shadows were there. So it was this business of observing and doing.
Mm-hmm.
And early training is something that's very hard to undo.
Do you think that the county itself offers you places to further your education? Or, well, we talked about inspiration, and you mentioned that the plants that you're interested in drawing are always available to you.
I think the climate here does. It's very genteel, and it's quiet, at least for me. I'm only speaking for myself in this, but what I find is that I have a lot of latitude. I have places I can go. I can be alone if I want to, and as an artist, I tend to like to work alone. I love people, and I'm fairly gregarious, but when it comes down to the work, it's sort of between my soul and my fingers, and that I can't really deal in a group situation. Sometimes I would like to be different in that respect and be able to really involve myself in a kind of a group happening or something way out, but I think I'd consider it a party rather than serious work, where other people look at it as quite serious work. As far as educational opportunities are concerned, for myself specifically, I don't think there's ever a point in time where one can shut off learning, that one can say, well, there just isn't anything here for me. I have a degree so that, you know, I could be a snob and say, well, I have a degree, so what good can the community college do me? But there's some very fine people teaching there, and I think that if I took a course there, for example, even though it's an undergraduate course, I would gain from it because of the particular human beings that are running those classes. There's a lot I don't know. So yes, I think it's available, and not only here, but you do have the city close by, both New York and Philadelphia, and they're within, you know, if you're ambitious enough, they're within easy commuting distance. It takes some gumption to get yourself, you know, out and attend a class or go into a concert or go to the museum or what have you. But I think all of these things are available in this area. And they were available to me when I lived in Pittsburgh. This was one of the glorious things about living there, is I lived in the city and I had the museum available. And I think a lot of my art interests were fostered by the fact that there was a good orchestra in Pittsburgh and a good museum and, you know, shows coming in from the outside. And even as a young adult, I attended those things on a pretty regular basis. So that having those available, as opposed to, say, living in the middle of a mountain somewhere where you're 100 miles from the nearest large city, is really good. And yeah, I think Bucks County does offer that. It offers accessibility.
Do you take advantage of it very often? Or?
Yes.
Good.
That's why I'm and not just the visual arts. You know, I'm very interested in dance and music as well. So it's a whole climate that I think is available. And I have been watching the cultural calendar in Bucks County, and there's an awful lot you can do right here without even leaving the area. Mm-hmm. Plus adding in Philadelphia and all of what's available there. I think people shortchange what is there, what we have. We can become very complacent about it and not take advantage of all of these things that are going on.
Do you think there's much interaction or competition among either visual artists or artists in another field in this area, or?
I don't think there's a lot of interaction, and I can only speak from a limited knowledge of what goes on, because I tend, as I said, I tend to work alone. I like to attend things, but as far as do I belong to a group that kind of regularly gets together and has a critique or something, no. I don't think that's an impossibility. It's something I just haven't explored. I don't know how other people handle those things. You know, I've talked about this whole point with other people, and we have said, wouldn't it be nice if we could get together once in a while and kind of look at each other's work? But then you get busy and you don't do it. So I don't know if it's a deliberate thing and people say, well, I don't want to be bothered with that, or whether it's just that we're busy and we don't. So I don't think there's a lot of interaction from what I've been able to see so far. I think the people who are involved at the community college or someplace where there is already a mm-hmm. setup for gathering mm-hmm. together tend to interact an awful lot more than those of us who are pocketed here and there. And also the county, the one criticism if I have about Bucks County is it's long and skinny. So you have artists way up in Upper Black Eddy and you have people down in Bristol, and there's no way that these people are going to get themselves together unless they make some kind of concerted effort. Even living here in Southampton, the Arts Alliance has an office, you know, at Peddler's Village. Mm-hmm. But even living here, that's a good 35 to 40 minute drive. So somebody coming from Bristol is going to take an hour. So they're not going to bother coming that far, because that's an hour, 2 hours out of their life mm-hmm. to get up, plus the time you spend there. So it's very difficult, I think, to get people together in a particular place. I think there must be pockets of people who get together throughout the county, friends, what have you. I do a limited amount of that with the people I know pretty well.
It would have to be a very good situation to motivate people to make those efforts.
I think people just don't make efforts because it does take motivation. And there are just too many other things one has to do to live.
I guess one of the last questions is, do you intend, as far as you know, to stay in Bucks County?
That's a bit of a loaded question, because not really, although it will not be a thing we'll do soon, but my husband and I have been discussing the idea of a second career situation at some point in time, so that I have visions of leaving the area eventually, and if we do, it will be a big move. It will be going to Colorado or some, you know, or Alaska or Thailand or some other faraway place rather than staying here. But then that's what you would call a pipe dream, mm-hmm. At least for the next who knows how many years we will, you know, remain. We're permanent settlers in the area, mm-hmm. and that's another thing I guess that really makes a big difference with me. I get a tremendous amount of support from my family. I've had discussions with people who have said, well, you know, to be a professional artist, you have to make money as an artist and you have to support yourself. And I thought about that for a long time and decided that because I've chosen to marry and raise a family, there is no way under these circumstances that I can be a total, devoted, 100% artist. And I don't think there are a lot of people who really can, that most people do something else to support themselves. Either teach or do commercial work or what have you. I've taken upon myself to be a wife and a mother is part of my, and I find that a very important aspect and something that gives me a great deal of inspiration, and it has tended to mellow me. Mm-hmm. It's made me realize that one has to sacrifice. You give up some of the things you would like to do for other people, and sometimes I have to give up some of the other things I would like to do for my art as well. Because that's not the only other thing I like to do. I like to sleep late in the morning, I like to sew, you know, there are all sorts of, sometimes my garden becomes a problem in that I enjoy going out and working on it. I'm very interested in wildflowers and herbs and the things you can do with those things, and I could be totally preoccupied with that and spend the rest of my life becoming an herbalist or something, but then it would interfere with my art. So I'm always sort of torn in many different directions as to how I want to spend my time.
Do you think some of the secret is to have some sort of real organization when you're interested in that many directions?
I think it's necessary, and it's also necessary to limit oneself and to make some and make some priorities. And right now, and I think maybe it's always been that way, except for the short time in which I had small children. My children, fortunately, are old enough where they can do a lot of things for themselves now. I feel that the artistic endeavors have always been the priority thing in my life. But it's so easy to digress and fall into other things that one would like to do. I think it's a very difficult thing, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, that you're torn in many directions by many different things because we're whole people and we're not just zeroed in one area. Mm-hmm. But I do have to sometimes force myself to sit down and put some time into it and make a commitment there. So it doesn't come as easily as a lot of people think, oh, if you're artistic, you just run around all the time doing artistic things. Well, I'm sorry, you don't. At least I don't.
No.
So,
well, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. It's been valid to have this other thing to do, but because we all have something else we have to do besides our avocation.
I don't know. It seems more women are more thought of as being the ones to take care of the children in the house. And does your husband give you the support?
Yeah, he's
in doing what you're interested in and following, because you follow it with a lot of effort and a lot of time, I think, your work.
That's part of my personality. He doesn't hold me back at all, and if anything, he'll take the kids out or do the housework that needs to be done in order to let me have time to do my own thing. I know when I was painting especially, and I'm getting really wrapped up in this, he would come home and there wouldn't be any dinner on the table, so he'd probably go and make it, which is nice.
That's good, because that's really helpful.
Yeah. I feel that by being home, I have an
awful
lot
more... Your studio's in your home.
Right. I have a lot more freedom within my own home to do what I want to do, and my time is really my own.
You feel that's better than having a studio or a place away from?
I would like to have a place away from. It's a matter of now is not the time. The time will come. I guess I'm one of these people who feels that there will be a time and place, and when it's right, it will happen. And I'll put some effort forth into it. I know it's sort of a thing to think about, a thing that I will have to consider, but I think part of the reason I like being home is because I still have a six-year-old.
Oh, your daughter is 6 years old.
And I've had occasion when the school has called and said, hey, she's running a fever, and being home has made the difference. I can drop what I'm doing for 2 hours or whatever it takes to get her settled down again, but if I had a studio somewhere, I'd be there, and I have to come home, and I think I'd be much more possessive if I had a studio outside my own environment. I, quite frankly, find being home very distracting because there are a thousand million things that can pull you away. But that, again, will come as time goes on and the children grow older, and I will, maybe part of it is money, too, that I don't see myself wanting to spend what it costs to rent and take care of a studio. And one way you can get around that is to share it, but I'm not sure I want to be with another person. So there are lots of considerations there.
I think it's a strength to remain and have a family life. A lot of influence of late has been, you know, be just yourself and be just in tune to your work. But as you said, to be a whole person, I think that whole aspect of sacrifice in other people is very important.
Well, I would hope that it would deepen the work I do. I guess I'm a firm believer that there is something to be said for suffering. You can record if you want. Maybe it's getting more interesting as it goes along. My husband used to always kid me about something about come the revolution, because we're both Eastern European background, and he would occasionally say, well, come the revolution, you'll be prepared to suffer, because of this whole thing about Russian suffering. And we used to kind of throw it out as a joke.
Is your background Russian or Polish?
It's Lithuanian and Slavic. I'm Slavic, so I'm half stubborn Lithuanian as well. Richard's ethnic background is very similar to mine. His is Slavic, so that our ancestors came from like the same little 200-mile area. Mm-hmm. And there is a whole business there about fatalism and accepting things as they are and working within the framework in which you are, although these people did pick themselves up and come to America, so can't be all that valid or totally valid. But that sometimes suffering will bring out aspects in you that you don't know were there. That if everything went smoothly and you were always on top of everything, you might end up losing a depth.
Mm-hmm.
It's neat not to have troubles and be totally smug and satisfied with yourself.
I'm not so sure that's realistic.
No, it's not. That's the thing that sometimes turmoil brings out things in you you don't know are available. I know I've had to do some soul searching in the last couple of years about who I was and what I wanted to do and whether I really wanted to stay with the family situation. That was really a consideration for a while in my own mind, whether this was the mistake like 10 years ago or 12, whenever I got married, was a mistake to begin with. And you know, because so many people are working as career people and so forth, and you wonder sometimes whether taking the other route was the best thing for you at this time in life. You look and say, well, what have I accomplished? And I had to think about that for a long time, and I finally came to the conclusion I did accomplish something, that there are two people in this world that wouldn't be here without us, and they're good people, and I would think that it's the contribution that we've made to society, and we've done the best we can, and hopefully these people will contribute, and it's an ongoing process, it's an evolutionary process. One set of people following another set of people following another set of people. I have a great affinity for the past. Even though I can't trace my own roots, I did, at one time, I did some bookbinding as part of a summer and school college job. I spent a good 2.5 years as a binder, and I used to take old books apart and redo them. And I always found it interesting to deal with things that were put together by somebody who was dead 250 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was essentially repeating the process they had. I was undoing their work. And it's very strange. I still have those feelings about touching things that other people have made. People that are long gone, I often wonder what they were like.
Mm-hmm.
I was given some arrowheads on a trip that I took to Maryland by a friend. And I find that those things are like talisman for me, because mm-hmm. they do connect me with the people who made them. And some of them are very old.
Mm-hmm.
I find it an interesting thing, because we just never... I guess Lydia said something to me once about she liked to make bread because it's sort of joining in with the hundreds and thousands and zillions of women who have needed bread and made bread.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way of connecting one's work with the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very strongly about those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can't be an isolated person doing my own thing. I'm very traditional.